arms as you. Hi, everybody. Today's episode of The Read is brought to you by Tristan Walker and our very good friends over at Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. So make sure you step up your shave game like Kid Fury and my brother and so many other guys have by going to getbevel.com today and using code THERead to get 20% off your first month. That's GETBEVEL.com and use promo code THERead to get 20% off your very first month. It's time to shave smarter and sexier with Bevel and the Read, and now let's get the show started.
I gave an Oreo to Meek Mill. Would his real feelings show? Would he know his career is dead? Or would that nigga write another diss track instead? I mean, is he really ready to get that ass red again? And again, bitch, Drake is the fucking best. That nigga showed his fucking ass at the OVO Fest. And he brought them niggas out. And he showed them out. And
I don't know.
What the fuck? How did you do that?
I'm drunk.
Meek need to hire you. All right.
So I'm Countess Miller.
And I am Jada Pinkett Smith.
And this is The Read.
That was very rambunctious of you.
I don't know what came over me.
What was that? Did you just freestyle that? Jesus.
Yeah, but you know what? I've had the Oreo song stuck in my head. Shout out to Owl City. That motherfucker has got to be paid. There's like 300 versions of that Oreo
song.
Yeah,
I've heard it a million times.
I love it.
Never anyway. Quite like that, though. Amazing.
Okay.
Only
well,
you.
You know, just trying to get carve up my slice of America.
Okay, fuck it up then.
Hey, this week on...
You okay?
This week on, for Black Excellence, I just want to shout out, a young king and titan by the name of Caesar Sant, or Sant, and I think he's freshly 7 years old, and there have been a lot of stories of, well, a couple of stories of him in the news over the past few years, because he's like a violin king, mm-hmm. like a prodigy, and he's been like obsessed with music ever since he was 2 years old and been slaying the violin at like 3-4 years old and things like that. And unfortunately, he's suffering from sickle cell anemia, which has kind of prevented mm-hmm. him from,
poor baby,
you know, playing the way that he would like to. And I watched this like dreadful video on National Geographic of him like crying. It was really, really, really sad. But at the same time, I urge all of you to look him up. That's Caesar, S-A-N-T is his last name. And I think that his parents, who are from Brazil, have like there's like a GoFundMe on his page, and I think they're trying to petition to get him on The Ellen Show, and this seems perfect for Ellen, girl.
Yeah, right up her alley. Come on, Ellen.
Yeah, look him up. He's so adorable and extremely, extremely talented, and kind of got me in my feelings, which is why I went to go get a shot.
Okay.
I knew that I had to go,
so that's,
you know,
where
and tell
you
jokes. Yeah, I just decided to run downstairs and have a conversation with this, you know, very handsome white man at the, thank God it's Fridays, across the street.
I can't believe you went to a Fridays.
Me neither.
You always act like it would just be the worst thing in the
and
world.
And it looked like Summer Jam in there.
So you must have really wanted that damn
even
drink.
Way down here. So,
all right.
And that goes to show you, like, Fridays. So
I hate you.
This week in Chicken, get your chicken here.
Really?
Oh, so much to talk about.
Duell, do you want to start with your fave Meek Mill? I mean, since you kind of opened the show with talking about his ass anyway.
No, we're going to save that.
Okay.
I'm going to build up to it.
All right.
First things first, Miss Piggy and Kermit have split up.
What the fuck?
And apparently, you know, the internet is devastated.
People will, y'all will not be in your feelings about this, okay? They are puppets. There is nothing to be emotional
about. It's not that simple.
I was going to say, are you feeling away? Oh, God, you are.
It's really not that
Are you
simple.
Feeling away about this?
They can't just not be together.
They were never together. They are felt. They They don't have personalities.
And see, this is why Pixar made Inside Out. It's for people like you that just shit on the dreams of the young and destroy our imaginations. Really. This is in the Four Agreements.
I'm not trying to destroy anybody's imagination, but
no, honestly, you know, ABC has this new Muppets show coming out in the fall, and I already saw the trailer for it, and it looks hilarious. It looks kind of like it's supposed to be geared for an older audience.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
In it, Kermit has like a new girlfriend who's hideous. And and they have to like, yeah.
So it's
like
promo for the movie.
Right. It's promo for this
new
show. This new show that's coming
out. I thought this was just out of nowhere here to fuck with some people's childhood dreams. Like,
I guess a lot of people don't. Maybe they don't know about the show yet or haven't seen it.
Well, that's a good way to get
them talking. Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
And it's really cute. It's a cute way to promo the show too, like make it a real press, whatever. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking
about.
I mean,
yeah, clearly, because some people were truly in their feelings about
it. Oh no, there's like a list of celebrities that were talking about, oh my goodness, I hope this isn't true, like my god, I don't know how I'm gonna wake up in the morning and have, you know, a fresh cup of vitamin C. I don't know.
No, you'll find a way to move past it.
But I'll tell you who's not splitting up. Will and Jada.
I thought you were going to talk about Gwen Stefani because she is getting a divorce from her husband. Right, but no, wrong show.
Oh, well. I mean, you know, I love Gwen. I love me some Gwen.
But
Gavin, what's his name?
Rossdale.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Gwen, I've got your back and I'm all the way here for you if you need me to be, sweetheart. But yeah, I'm focusing on Will and Jada. That was the rumor. I was very jarred. I was very, and you know, they've had all of these
rumors. It comes out like
every
8 months, though, that they are breaking up.
I was going to say that. It's kind of like, you know, like a comet or something that just happens every however long. But again, these rumors keep coming up, and I saw them again recently, and they're saying they're trying to come up with some secret settlement and how they're going to deal with everything, and they just hate each other's guts, and Jada's so sick of that nigga playing Independence Day, or I don't know, whatever.
Something about him cheating, which you would think cheating would be the last thing y'all would still throw in there after all these years. Like, y'all have come with all these allegations about Will and Jada being swingers, and you know, they fucking other men and she fucks up. Like, listen, whether it's true or not, the fact is, like, y'all keep throwing the same tired ass shit out and they finally got enough of it.
No, the fact is, it's none of my black business. But
however,
they are one of those couples that I just really would be, like, super sad if they were no longer together. Like, Will and Jada, Beyonce, Jay-Z, like Oprah and Gayle, they're just groups.
All right.
They're duos that I have to be together forever, or you know what I'm saying? Like,
right, or something is wrong with the universe. Yeah,
absolutely. If they're having trouble in paradise, bitch, you better lie to me for life. That's all I'm saying. Place me in the infinite Tsukiyomi, whatever the fuck you got to do, and just make sure that I'm always lied to, because I don't know if I can handle them not being together.
Do you remember when Jada told Oprah that if she and Will ever broke up, she would call Ellen? Like, this was it for her. Like, you remember that? When they first, I think maybe they had just gotten married, or maybe they were just coming out about being together, but they were on Oprah together being so cute. And Jada was like, I'll straight up eat some pussy if I have to. Like, I'm not going through with no niggas no more. This is the last one for me, so.
And I see it. Will Smith went on Facebook and said, under normal circumstances, I don't usually respond to foolishness because it's contagious. Well, but so many people have extended me their deepest condolences that I figured, what the hell, I can be foolish too.
Lord.
He said, I'm not getting a divorce. I promise you all, if I ever decide to divorce my queen, I swear I'll tell you myself. And then he said, dumb people should, hashtag, dumb people should have to wear scarlet D's. But each word had a space in between it. So the only word that was hashtagged was dumb, which I thought was great because it's like, oh, Will Smith is old now. Older.
No, he is, though, because that's an old people thing. Old people do not know how to do hashtags.
And I don't blame him.
Old people and people who are on Facebook and not on Twitter, they don't know how to do hashtags. They be putting periods in between them, apostrophes and
shit. I remember Will Smith being like the young trendsetter kid.
Yeah, like he was the cooler, older cousin. And now he's like, oh,
pound,
my God.
But hashtag.
Nigga, you don't know how to hashtag.
Now his son is the one who's setting trends.
Oh, yeah.
Weird and
it's
stuff.
True.
Man.
And then Jada jumped on Twitter.
God only knows when I'm in my like 30s, 40s, what the internet's going to be talking about and all these goddamn kids.
I don't even think I want to know what the internet is going to be doing.
Toddlers are
going
to have hovercrafts.
It's going to be crazy. Like, everything is going to go nuts. It's bad now. It's only going to get worse as like technology progresses.
Babies are going to have Louis Vuitton hoverboards.
Okay.
And they're just going to be sliding up on me like, old man, yeah, get out of the way.
Right, exactly. Like you do with that little crazy
beat
no hands Segway thing you have, that thing that you move with
the
your mind.
Nigga wheel.
Okay, your nigga
is
wheel.
One of a kind. All right. It is also,
it's terrifying.
All right.
You move it with your thoughts.
You don't move it with your thoughts.
I can't get it to
you
work.
You move it with your soul.
Okay, well, whatever you say.
So what else is up in here in this basket of
Jada nonsense? Said her king has spoken, and that was it.
Damn, Skippy.
She was just like,
and really the girls are just upset that they don't have a Deadshot in their life. How great is it that, you know, they both work in DC comic book worlds and things like that?
Right.
They're just so great.
I figured it was just another slow news day when that shit came out, honestly. They always
That's
got
what
something
she,
about
I mean, yeah.
Will and Jada.
Will and Jada getting divorced, Beyonce's pregnant. And what's another super slow news day thing? Miley Cyrus is
high. Oh, God. Did you see them pictures of somebody eating Miley Cyrus out on the toilet?
That was not Miley Cyrus.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not to say that couldn't have been Miley Cyrus.
Oh, somebody told me it was.
I really
Damn
don't
it.
Believe that was Miley Cyrus.
I got to stop believing everything I read.
But see, that the unfortunate part about what you're talking about is that it's believable.
Yeah, no, I'm 100%.
But
I just
you
assumed
just
it was
like,
true.
No way! Like,
of
you're
course
like,
Miley Cyrus would take a picture of somebody giving her hit.
On top of a toilet.
So then who the was in a toilet? Listen, white people, I know y'all are adventurous and y'all love to do crazy new bullshit.
Wait.
No, this is like a proven fact. White people do not have enough thrill in their everyday lives because shit is so safe and predictable for them, so they go out and do dumb shit to have fun.
But
like,
girl,
this is,
I can tell you without a shadow of my blacked out that there have been plenty of niggas doing nasty shit,
giving
like
head over an open toilet seat.
Oh, miss.
Oh my God. Oh, okay.
I just don't understand y'all.
This
is what I'm trying
to
say. Like, y'all just
club.
Do things, you know, that but whatever, you know.
Absolutely
like,
not.
I was a wild and crazy kid. That's just unsanitary.
I've never been that crazy.
And just like not necessary.
How many germs? So you're just gonna
All
put your
them.
Mouth over where these shit particles are just floating in the air, and you're just gonna open your mouth and gobble up the shit particles and God knows what else over a toilet seat and some bitch's dirty pussy, because I'm sure she didn't wash it out before she presented it
That's
to
how
you.
They discovered
so
mono.
So you just see, what the fuck?
Somebody had to discover mono and like, you know, shingles or whatever.
Oh my God, I can't.
So,
where were we? What were we talking about?
Oh, who knows?
Right.
Lenny Kravitz was performing at,
speaking of genitals.
One of these things.
One of these fests.
And unfortunately, you know, he got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny Kravitz is like, you know, the original Miguel in that he, you know, leather and tight pants and rock and light skin and guitar and
sexuality,
you know,
is ambiguous.
Absolutely. And that's how I like it. There was no, you know, there were no supports. There was no
draws.
None of that. integrity, pride. No, I'm kidding. I love Lenny Kravitz. The point is, he was performing at this concert, and he like got down into this hardcore Lil' Kim squat.
Yes, his Nicki Minaj squat.
And that is what, don't do that.
Sorry,
you know,
yes,
when,
God, oh God, now the Kim stance. I know.
Okay.
Because all they need is
one
a reason.
Of them with a B. So yeah, he, you know, dropped down and got his eagle on, and that's when those leather pants said, whoop.
And that dick came rolling away.
It sure did. I mean, it didn't roll that far.
Well,
but it was like, you know, it was present.
Like one of them things that you blow into at birthday parties, them noisemaker things. It kind of just kind of uncurled itself like that and just kind of plopped right down like
it's
a yo-yo.
Just, you know, it took place.
Yeah, it happened. And I heard some people criticizing it, which, I mean, I guess I don't have enough personal experience, but.
Like, oh my gosh, Lenny Kravitz was just up on stage at bed getting ready to, you know, show everyone what he was about. and right. breast nuts.
Wouldn't it be weirder if it was like hard and like stiff and everything? People were like, why is it so small? Like,
you know,
isn't
it
supposed
an accident,
to be
girl, like dicks have moments when they're flaccid.
Right. It wasn't meant to be like a porno moment, girl. I don't think it was meant to impress
What I was
you.
Confused about was it seemed like he was wearing a cock ring. Now, I'm still confused about the purpose of those. Like, I think I know what they do. I've had this explained to me before. But was one of it was kind of like when someone is trying to explain like words to Fantasia, or like appropriation to Iggy Azalea, or like, you know,
so talking to
seasoning
a brick
wall. To white folks.
All right, yes.
It was just kind of like, I don't get it. But apparently he's just wearing one. Like, he's just walking around with cock rings under his leather.
That doesn't
like something
surprise
like
me,
Kravitz
right?
would do, though.
Lenny Kravitz wears a cock ring. Of course he does. That would not shock me in any interview had I read that. I would have just kept right on going. Like, I think I assumed that about you in the first place, brother.
But then if he had a cock ring on, wouldn't it then? Shouldn't it have been erect? I don't know.
Is that what they do? It's not like a bracelet? Is it meant to?
So what I was... No, it's not like decorative. Oh. Well, some of them are. But then I think the purpose of it, it's supposed to like keep all of the blood in your penis so that it stays hard.
Okay.
And then it's supposed to like...
Maybe it kicks in...
What the fuck it does?
I don't either.
I don't get it. I thought it was for old people, but apparently, like,
I thought it was a bracelet for your penis till just now. Just. So I'm the wrong one, obviously.
Alrighty.
I mean, I feel if you have something like that for genitals, why wouldn't you decorate
it? Ball jewelry.
Like, for Christmas, I would dress it up like a tree. What? I would do so. That could be so festive. I can't believe y'all don't do more with your genitals.
Anyway, so the point is, we all saw Lenny Kravitz's dick, and
that was fun. Yeah, he thought it was cute.
A moment in life.
Was that a DM from Steven Tyler that he posted?
I think it was like a text.
Oh, a text.
Yeah, he texted him and said, "No underwear and pierced. Fuck me. You never showed me that shit."
See. Which just only goes to fuel the rumors. And he clearly don't give a damn.
I mean, who would you? Lenny Kravitz.
He's probably bisexual. Like truly can fuck men or women, like, easily. Like, with no qualms.
And, you know, if that is the case, Lenny, shout out to you.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's your business.
So, would you like to talk about some Chris Brown drama? Of course, Chris Brown's got new drama.
I mean... I thought Chris Brown was finally getting his shit together. Wasn't
That's what
that
we
the,
all think.
After this robbery by his friends, didn't he like kick them all out and change the locks and decide to get his life right?
You know, we have seasonal hope for Chris Brown. Like, every 3 months or so, we're just like, oh yeah, Chris Brown is going to get it together now. This is the moment where Chris Brown is going to recognize that he has shit to lose and like responsibilities and... You know, like a child and things. And then he's like, no, I'm going to set this 7-Eleven on fire and run Carucci over with my Lamborghini or whatever.
What did he do now? Please tell me not something with that.
We haven't really, really done. Okay. So, rumor has it, or the report goes, that his baby's mother is asking a judge for visitation, like to change the rights or a visitation with the baby, because she is afraid that the baby's safety is at risk.
What a valid concern.
What a valid concern.
Because all you need is a short perusal at Chris Brown's social media presence to know that that's no environment for a child.
When I read that this child's mama was like, Judge, I would really like to have a strong presence when he's with the baby because I feel like she's not safe. I was like, well...
I do too, girl.
Glad somebody in a great position said it, because
I'm glad one of her parents seems to have just a little bit of sense, because
I almost followed Chris Brown back on Instagram just to see pictures of, because I'm one of those weirdos that just loves seeing celebrities, especially dads with their kids, and I'd be like, oh, I want to see all the pictures of the baby and stuff like that. But when I go to Chris Brown's page, a lot of the times it's just adorable pictures of her, and then there'll be times where it's like him and like Fetty Wap's mixtape is playing and it's like 800 niggas in the kitchen.
Right.
All doing like.
That's the problem.
The pool palace into the Nene.
It's never something like that makes Dougie. Sense. It's always a this whole chorus of niggas for what? Goddamn.
It's like white bitches in the, like on the horizon sniffing coke off of a cactus. And it's like, yeah, somebody should probably come get
And royalty baby. Be looking around like, so nobody's going to be an adult and she take care of me.
So woke.
She is. She knows what the
she
fuck is going
around
on.
Around like, is it 5 o'clock yet? Is my mom outside? Because I'm ready to go.
These niggas is childish and I can't do it.
He she loves always the fuck looks, out of that baby.
I'm
though.
Sure he does. He does love She the fuck looks out of fed baby. Up. Like, I'm sure they have a good time when it's just them.
She looks super happy. I mean, when it's odd shit like that going around, she definitely does give like a Northwest like.
But who
I
wouldn't?
See right all through this shit and y'all niggas are weird. Royalty be in the living room like, girl, I wish y'all would go home. Like,
so shout out to her mama for being like, how about no? Like,
shout somebody out needs to be not her goddamn mama.
No, to Royalty's mama for being like, somebody needs to be watching.
I mean, bitch, well, somebody needed to. Shit.
Well, I mean, but without going through the courts.
I ain't giving her mama no damn shout outs or her boyfriend or her legal husband any motherfucking shout outs just because she wanted the pizza lunchables instead of the ham and cheese.
What?
Girl, bye.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
The point is
what the fuck?
That Royalty is absolutely adorable. And all Chris, right. You have to take an Eat, Pray, Love vacation. So let's talk about
how
the
many
good
shots
shit.
Did you have at
You hush your mouth. Friends,
because you just
and
kind
mind
of,
your black business.
You
That's
just
what
kind
you
of
do.
Went off of
So
Jesus God.
We talked a lot about, you know, Aubrey versus Meek.
That and, was fun.
Again, shout out to Aubrey for the champagne.
And I thought that would be the end of it.
The champ acne. And, you know, that was great. I also thought that would be the end of it.
For the most part, I figured Meek would have a response. It would be whatever. And by now, we would all be talking about something else. But, oh, no. Oh,
so, no. I stand for Drake now. And this is the reason...
Okay.
I live for shit like this. Like
the petty
shady,
shit.
Petty bullshit like this. When you are just like an outstanding all-star in, you know, petty wars, mm-hmm. we can call them. It just really lights a fire in me that I can't deny. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, I was good. At first, I did not like Rihanna at all. Like, when she did that second album and she went pop and left her, like, West Indian, I felt like she was leaving her West Indian roots behind.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, no, fuck that. We don't want to hear that pop music shit. And then even, like, through Girl Gone Bad, which was sickening, I was like, that's cute or whatever, but nah, like, how could she do that?
Bitch.
But when she got a motherfucking Twitter account and showed the world that she's not the fucking one
yeah.
and that she will cuss your ass out and fight your mama, that's when I was like, okay, yes, I live for Rihanna.
Rihanna's personality brought me around to Rihanna's music. That's dead ass truth.
Legit.
Yep.
So Drake is doing something similar, I think, now in that he's... I think he's just saying to the world, let this be a lesson to each and every individual one of you rap bitches that have ever thought or will think to try me, because I Woo. Am nary the one.
This is just so... It's so lopsided is the thing, though. Like, Drake is clearly winning this shit. It ain't no way.
And no one thought that he would lose. But I don't think people thought that he would do all this.
Like, I didn't think anybody knew he would just whoop Meek Mill's ass like this. Like, Drake is dominating this nigga.
And that's the motherfucking problem. And I said that shit already. That the girls thought that because Aubrey is beige and has, you know, like...
A melodic tone to his voice.
Right. And then he got shot on Degrassi and he loves motherfucking age ain't nothing but a number. Y'all thought that you could just be swinging on my girl and doing whatever you want. And Aubrey said, not
no,
me.
Mm-mm.
So OVO Fest was this past weekend. When was it?
Yeah, it
Monday,
was.
Monday, Sunday?
Over the past, it was like that
it was
whole.
Just a few days
yeah,
ago.
Right.
Whatever. But
in Toronto.
I don't even know that I knew that OVO Fest was coming up as the Meek Drake thing was going on. But someone sent a picture and was like, oh, OVO Fest is happening. And Drake had on this free Meek Mill shirt with Meek with the old, those Velcro dreads, those Velcro braids. Those Velcro braids that he had back Drake. When he was freestyling and stuff. And the shade of that, I thought that that was what he was going to perform in. Yeah. It wasn't. Like, he just wore that to rehearsal just because.
He Fuck knew that. Somebody was going to take a picture. He knew. He knew somebody that was going to get out.
So the thing about, can you just describe the OVO Fest, like his coming out and performing for the kids? Because I just want to discuss the details and why Drake is a legend in the shade game.
Well, all I've seen is clips on Instagram and like Tumblr, but it looks like he just came out dressed like an updated Power Ranger. Like he had leveled up on some energy stars or some shit.
Lord Zed. This, Rita Repulsa. Right.
Like, this nigga came out like, I got some new shit to hit you hoes with.
Drake came out and said, with your powers combined.
Get the fuck.
I get transformed to the sixth god. That was his sixth god battle uniform. This nigga came out.
That nigga leveled up in the back.
He came out just like Rashiki.
Get the fuck out of here. Yes, Drake. Absolutely.
So
the slideshow, though. His PowerPoint presentation. He had some strippers in the back.
That I really have to tip my, because it was like a slow build into me standing as it was going on, because I realized the shade of it all.
Yeah.
And the shade of it all was that screen, that slideshow that he had on the screen behind him, it was made up of all of these embarrassing, horrible memes of Meek Mill. And it was very, you know, reflective of things that Jay-Z has done, 50 Cent has done, lots of rappers have done at big concerts and things like that before. But the shade behind it was that he didn't have somebody Photoshop nothing for him.
No. Nobody Stay created anything.
Stay with me. He didn't have anybody go into Illustrator or Crop Video and build shit specifically for him. Oh no, Drizzy had somebody cut out an iPad shaped box and put it up on a projector with all of your ignorant ass nigga memes that you have made over the past week and some change.
Yep.
And he had them shits playing what? Back to back. The gag of the situation, ladies and gentlemen, is that he didn't even need to build shit. He said, I'm just going to perform the song that I did to bury you, bitch, and I'm going to show you everything that these niggas made. Look at your mangled career, darling. Look at the effects that I've made.
Right.
Look at the global response and reaction of the bars that I hit your girl. You chase those dreams, sweetness. Why don't you do that?
And like, this song came out 3 days ago and the whole damn crowd knows every word.
The whole screen.
Is that a world tour or your girls? They knew it. They knew it. Drake just put the mic down and the whole audience, they just went up, nigga.
It was a window into the little reaction the world had of Meek Mill's slayage. Like, it was like, I'm not even going to give you anything. Like, you realize that every single one of you that made those memes, you're Drake's ghostwriters for the night. Like, like, that is the shade. Like, he didn't even write any jokes. He said, you want me to have a ghostwriter? Ghostwrite these memes, bitch. Like, that's what we're going to do. Look at everybody laughing at you.
And that'll be the joke now. But we didn't even talk about Meek Mill's, because we knew it was going to come out as soon as we left the studio. And it came out, like, the very next morning. His response, I guess, to Drake, if you want to call it that. He tried.
It's called Wanna Know. I think it's, what is it, a Tupac beat or somebody?
No, I don't know who it is. I don't think so.
I really don't know.
This is sad. Like,
and it was like, I really thought that, I mean, I didn't think there was any way of me winning the battle there. But I did think that he was going to come with something a little bit more like visceral.
A diss, actually. Like something that was intended to hurt his feelings or like bring some shame upon him. Because nothing, I was just listening to it like, who is moved by this? Who is affected?
I could barely understand what the fuck he was saying.
That is the number one issue. I needed the fucking Rap Genius. I needed some fucking lyric sheets, like some shit, because what the fuck is this?
And then he had all of
about?
These like interludes, all of these people talking, and like he played the reference track. But Quentin Miller already came forward and said, like, look, I don't know what the fuck that nigga's talking about. Like,
sure
Drake invited me out to the club. We popped bottles. We went to the studio, you know, and I did some little verse or whatever. And he was like, that shit is hot, my nigga. Would you like some macaroons? And we just kicked it. And I respect the fuck out that nigga. And I don't know what. Like, even if Quentin Miller did really ghostwrite everything for Drake ever, clearly he's not trying to fuck up his check for nobody's Meek Mill. So it's like, I don't even have, like, playing the reference track is pointless at this point because Quentin Miller ain't got a dog for you in his fight.
Right.
So,
I mean, because honestly, Meek Mill, don't you think Drake can afford to pay a ghostwriter who has to sign an NDA and won't snitch on being a ghostwriter? Like, if it's that fucking serious, don't you think that nigga's under contracts and is paid to the point where he would never acknowledge your shit?
Look at how deeply he thought out this whole entire annihilation of this rapper.
See?
Like, the whole thing from the first
Drake
diss
has
record
been plotting this
to the second diss record and the actual sending of champagne to Charlamagne, and the nigga apparently has a third diss record, and this whole performance, like, he was like, the thing about it, and I've said this and I'm trying to convince y'all, he's got this beard now.
Okay.
And pectoral muscles.
You think it's the beard?
And he's trying to explain to the world that he is out here and you better not fuck with Drizzy.
Yeah.
And that's the point that he's trying to make. Meek responded at another one of his girlfriend's concerts.
I was going to say when he was on stage before Nicki came out.
And he said something about giving all of them wedgies.
Yeah. When I see them niggas, I'm going to give them niggas wedgies.
And everybody catching bullet holes, even niggas in OVO or something like that.
All right.
Wayne don't fuck with you. Sonny don't fuck with you. Tiger don't fuck with you. Tiger not fucking with you would be like, that's like a goal for me.
Right. Like, why don't you let me know, please? Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. I
put
hard.
All of that in song, though, Meek. And you know the crazy thing about it is, like, before the festival, I was saying Meek has got to put out another diss record. Not that it's going to help him, but at least to make up for the first one.
Mm-mm.
Because wow, I feel like at this point the only thing that is probably on his mind is to try and shoot this nigga, and I really really really
and that does not
y'all.
Need to happen.
Yeah, just calm down,
just keep it all on the internet, go back in the studio and continue to make some music. Why don't you just go out there and put out
over.
Some more hot ass
no
I don't think there's any point in Meek Mill trying to engage Drake other than on like a professional level. Like, I feel like you just need to try to do your very best with this music shit, because trying to beat him in this back and forth, it's not going to work. You're not going head to head with Drake.
You're not going to beat Drake. And Drake has everybody. Drake did that whole entire thing and then brought out Future and Kanye West and like Mary Magdalene and all these bitches came out and was twerking on stage. All
right.
And it's like, he just has the whole, like, all of the he has every one of the pieces on this chessboard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And Meek is just working with nothing. This is why you have to say no to man-made drugs.
But you know what? Again, unfortunately, Meek started this. I don't understand.
Right. That's it.
I'm still curious as to what was even.
Why would you? And I feel like this happened back. Did we talk about this last week? I don't remember. I was kind of drunk. But like how back in March, Drake donated $75,000 to Meek Mill's high school, like so they could have a recording studio or something, like some music studio or something. I feel like this happened like way back then. Meek started like feeling in some type of way about Drake's verse on his album and all this other shit, and started talking about Drake having a ghostwriter, and Drake sent that check, like, let me go ahead and warn you right now. Like, I could send this $75,000. Like, it's absolutely the fuck nothing. And if I was you, I would not try me. I feel like Drake knew then to get ready.
It just
because why else does he have all this music?
But back in March?
I think that's when it started. I really do. I think that's when the bad blood and the hurt feelings started coming up. I really do.
You just made me think of a white girl I didn't want to think of.
Okay.
You have to keep in mind that hip-hop is an egotistical sport. And it's just very, it's very much driven by I'm the best and no one is better than me. And I write all of my music and I fuck most bitches and, you know, my watch will blind you. And so I feel like, A, Meek is with Nicki. Or was. They can keep hugging on stage if they want to. I know as soon as that last date.
Anyway. And Nicki is just going on like absolutely the fuck nothing because has transpired.
Nicolas Minaj is smart about her motherfucking money and she's a businesswoman and she knows what the fuck to do. And she doesn't even have, she's probably every, she goes out there and says, boom, ba-doom, boom, boom, ba-doom, boom, bass. All right, North Carolina, this is so great. Thank you so much. Lights go down. What the fuck? Every goddamn, did not have to deal with this bullshit and you going after the motherfucker. Like, I feel like, you know, when it's time
yeah, she's fed up for work, private.
Nicki Minaj is going to give you those motherfucking dimples, but she's chopping necks to right. bits okay. backstage. And that's because that's how the fuck you do it. And niggas want to be out here causing drama and doing all this shit on Twitter. She's get it. She anyway, is disposing
she
of that.
Instagramming her fans like ain't none of this shit happening.
Because she has work to do. And she's not going to let none of these egotistical ass niggas get in the way of that.
Right.
So shout out to Nicki because I know she's
if she don't know how to do shit else, she know how to stay on top.
Hello, and so, I respect it.
Work out then.
As if things weren't bad enough for Meek, though. He's apparently getting sued.
Girl, for what?
Nothing being that even trash. Has to do with this.
Oh.
Apparently, he threw like a party. I don't know if it was for his album or what. I fucking lost the tab. But either way.
Okay.
He threw a party not too long ago in like somebody's Airbnb. And
left it a mess.
Apparently he agreed to not have, are they, the people who own the place specifically said that they didn't want any parties. And he said, oh yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, and then tried to be house party about it and have everybody and their mama come through.
Really?
Yeah. So now there's a lawsuit against Meek Mill.
Why are you renting houses to have parties? Who are you? For what? Okay, so we don't know. That's a file not found.
But apparently Justin Bieber, Khloe Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Chris Brown, and French Montana's names are also involved in this lawsuit because they want damages and things of that nature to be taken care
of. So all those people were also at the party? That must be it.
Yeah, all of these people were invited to the party. So not only did you agree to have no more than six people in the house or whatever and not have a party, you decided to have a jam and all of Hollywood would show up.
So what, these people saw pictures of their house on like TMZ and was like, what the fuck? Like, because that's, oh my God. Meek, this is just.
I'm guessing the people came back, the homes in Beverly Hills, and it was trashed or I don't know. This is just what I'm reading here. And they say that Meek was refusing to negotiate payments for the damages, so now he comes to his ass. So, I mean, but again, I don't believe, I believe
well,
that.
I mean,
but I, you know, you never know how true these stories
see,
are.
See, I don't understand why you negotiating about paying damages, but then you on Instagram counting money, talking about, oh, it's a milli, oh, I messed up, oh, let me start over. Nigga, are you that fucking rich? You getting sued right now for non-payment of fucking bills. So clearly you don't have enough money to be flexing on the gram about it. You need to log the fuck off and focus on the fact that this light-skinned singing-ass nigga
pay just Kelly Osbourne to go and clean their toilets since she does it herself.
Oh my God.
Somebody's got to.
But are we talking about her? To,
I'm not talking about her.
She's not my read, but I
oh,
thought
okay.
maybe
well,
she
then
was.
I guess we're just not gonna. So.
Well, all right.
Also, interestingly enough, from this Meek Mill and Drake thing, I guess part of Meek Mill's diss, he mentioned Ja Rule and 50 Cent's beef.
Oh, is that somewhere? I didn't hear all the words in English, so
I heard
again,
maybe
I don't.
Two of them. No and those two words were wanna and no.
Okay.
But yes, they were mentioned in this diss record, and I guess now it has reignited the Ja Rule 50 Cent beat.
Ja Rule is still alive?
Not only is Ja Rule alive, Ja Rule is alive and working on a docuseries with MTV.
Oh my God. About what?
God only
True
knows.
Life 50 Cent ruin my career.
What it's like to back up dance for Jennifer Lopez in the early 2000s. I don't know.
But 50 Cent really did clown Ja Rule for singing and then started singing like on his very next track. Like that truly did happen. And I don't know why everybody tried to get Ja Rule out the paint like that, but 50 Cent turned around and did that exact same shit. What's that song? That girl you seem to love me now. You know what it's called. Yeah. And Candy Shop with Kim. He started singing right after he clowned.
Candy Shop was Olivia.
Oh.
Damn.
That's not Kim on this song?
Oof. You're thinking of Magic Stick.
Oh, I'm thinking of Magic Stick. You're right. Damn. Okay. Sorry. Fuck. Oh, God. She the Lil' Kim stands are all over my ass now. Fuck it. Anyway.
So, Ja Rule said something about, like, which one is which? I guess asking, like, would he have been Drake and 50 would be Meek or vice? I don't know what the fuck.
Well, which one do you think you are, nigga? Which one of you ended up with a career? That was dumb.
The gag actually, listen, if you think about it, 50 was more so Meek. Because 50, Ja Rule, from what I remember, was out here doing his holla, yeah. Everybody that got bronchitis, holla. And then he started singing Rainy Days with Mary J. Blige and like singing for Cher and Jennifer Lopez and whoever else. But then here comes this big buff ass motherfucking four wheeler shaped nigga from Queens who's huge and rapping about gangster shit and said that Ja Rule was a wangster and a bitch nigga and he was like, he 50 Cent came clean out of nowhere and came for Ja Rule's neck and absolutely got him.
But
he
had already had a mainstream hit when he came for Ja Rule.
Barely.
Meek Mill has
won.
White people do not know who the fuck. Black people, a whole lot of black people don't even know who Meek Mill is.
Ja Rule was absolutely the bigger star when 50 Cent was coming.
Yeah, he was the bigger star, but 50 had a lot more social power than fucking Meek Mill does now. Not saying it was like the two of them were equal. No shit, but I guess
he was absolutely the Meek Mill that ended up turning into the Drake in that situation. But either way, nigga, I'm no longer in homeroom. I don't fucking have algebra anymore. Like, where y'all really trying to bring up this beef again?
And didn't he post a video of himself laughing? And when the Meek Mill response came out, him and Lil Kim both did actually.
Yeah,
50 Cent and Kim both posted like reaction gifts or something of like laughing, like, oh my God. See, y'all just making it worse. I kind of wanted to stop just because I don't want this to get into no dumb nigga shit where people start taking
you know
to the
that
streets
it will.
And all. See, that's why I don't. That's why I wanted to just kind of be like, all right, Drake, just, you know, you don't have to keep kicking.
But that's what I'm saying. You girls think that this shit is a fucking game. It's a sham. Drake has his beard. Drake has his biceps. And Drake is probably.
Because you already said you were a Drake stan, so don't look at me like I made that up.
Man, though.
Oh, that's not your man? Because you're normally ready to argue with me over Drake and Frank Ocean and everybody the fuck else.
Frank Ocean is a different conversation.
A different conversation
Michael
that
Bay
you will
Jordan
still
is
lose.
Also a different
Another
conversation.
One that you will also lose.
I simply said that Drake lights something in me that a lot of you hoes don't want to admit. And the beard doesn't change it.
What is it that he's lightening you? That
mind your black
okay,
business,
yeah, you know
bitch.
What?
That's
what actually,
the fuck
you don't answer that.
The point
I
is,
I don't think I need to know
that Drake is probably ready for one of these motherfuckers to run up on him so that he can pull out his Kamehamehas, his Rasengans, and all of the taijutsu and come for that motherfucking neck.
Oh, Lord.
Gonna have your eye socket on tilt while you think that you can whoop his ass again.
Well, let's
because,
pray it
see,
don't get there.
Puffy swung on that ass, and that was the day that he went to Jennifer Lopez enough about it and said, it's gonna be the last time one of you bitches put your hands on me. So what I'm gonna do now is ride better than you, and I'm also going to hit all of your pressure points.
Well,
so come for that ass if you think you can.
Yeah. Just don't try Drake. That's the whole moral of the story. Just leave it the fuck alone. Stay in your lane. Don't worry about
so
what the fuck everybody else is doing. What?
Bobby Christina's funeral.
Oh, no.
Was a few days ago. And I just want to say,
I know it was some raggedy shit. I know they did her wrong.
The family, a large number of you, Pat, Leola, whoever, you should be so ashamed of yourselves. Mm-mm. And the behavior that y'all were displaying at this funeral. They say that Leola Brown had come out talking about everything was good until Pat started speaking and she's going to hell and this isn't over. And before, like, apparently when I left the funeral for a smoke break to go in and talk shit about Pat and then go back in. Like, you all knew how close this girl was to her mom. Mm-hmm. Her mom passes in an absolute tragedy. And here y'all still have been keeping up all this mess. And why would you feel the need? Not that I doubt that there's something wrong with Pat and that she's evil. But why would you feel the need to leave the damn funeral and go talk to reporters and tell them all of this shit about her and how you feel like she did it to whatever? Like, this is exactly the reason why that little girl was suffering.
Right.
And I'm praying now that she is at peace. But you motherfuckers should be absolutely fucking ashamed of yourselves and the conduct that you displayed at this damn funeral.
And you know it all boils down to money. All of it boils down to money and assets and who gets what and who's entitled to what and who loved Bobby Chris the most and who this. Like, it's just nothing but a bunch of petty nigga shit arguing over money and giving more of a fuck about what's left behind instead of the person that you lost. I can't stand when niggas act like that.
Well, that's okay. This week and 31 Flavors.
So you really are going to switch it up every time.
I guess, whatever.
All right. So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Crunching and munching. That's how I feel about snacks. And I love them. So what you should do is love them too over at Nature Box. You can choose from over 100 healthy and crave-worthy options to be delivered right to your door. With zero artificial flavors or colors or sweeteners or 0 grams trans fats or high fructose corn syrups or K-Michelle's or Carrie Hilson's. And best of all, they taste so good.
Yes, they do. And you can have them delivered straight to the home or office, wherever you'd like. You can get something like the mini Belgian waffles or the strawberry lemonade fruit stars or the sweet and salty nut medley. We love nut medleys.
Who doesn't?
Make sure you go to naturebox.com/the READ to get a free trial of their favorite snacks. You can choose the selection that works best for you and your family. You can be surprised every month or pick out your own snacks. The opportunities and the options are endless. So again, naturebox.com/the READ to start your free trial today. We know you're going to love it and the nuts. And now let's get back to the show.
So it's time now for listener letters.
It is. You can send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. And we have an update today from the live show. Do you remember during the New York show and this girl said that her cousin had fucked her cuddy buddy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So she emailed us and said, remember, because she skipped her cousin's birthday party to come to the show?
Absolutely.
So she said, after I left the show and got home, I received a text from my cousin saying how hurt she was that I did not call her or spend time with her on her birthday. And I responded, girl, I spoke to you on Facebook. The next day, I got a call from her older brother who said she had been crying because she had not spent time with me or heard my voice. I called her and told her that don't nobody care about her damn birthdays. You need to call your nigga up and spend time with him. I'm done with her, and it was great to see you guys at the live show. So, not exactly a happy ending. It was more of a fuck that bitch. And honestly, I can't say I entirely blame you. Like, that was stank, but hopefully one day y'all can talk about it and move on. Be happy again.
What did she do again?
I just sat here and asked you, did you remember this girl?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
Okay. You make me so sick. So this first question comes from somebody, and it's called Bitch of a Mother-in-Law. So she wants us, I guess, to determine whether her mother-in-law is a terrible person. So this email comes from Rosette. And Rosette says, my daughter recently turned...
You still chucking them peas, Rosette?
Why do you always... okay. No, I'm good. So where was I? Damn it.
Rosette wrote a letter about mamas.
My daughter recently turned one, and we celebrated her birthday at a family.
Your mama is one.
Oh, my God. How much alcohol did you have? She said, my daughter recently turned one. Are you fucking joking? Whose mama is one? What? We celebrated her birthday at a family friend's house, and it was great. However, what wasn't great was that her grandmother, aka my mother-in-law, did not come because we decided we didn't want to have the party at her home. She knew about the party months in advance. Her party was on Saturday, and that Thursday, when I texted her, she asked when we would be leaving because she would be out of town, and if we didn't have anything going on that weekend, she would see us Sunday. My husband got pissed that she was going to be out of town for the baby's birthday party. We sent out invitations via Facebook to our family and friends, and she also did not reply to that and told him via text that everybody doesn't have Facebook and we could just have the party at a friend's house on Saturday and then at her house on Sunday for family. I was hoping that she felt a way about this birthday party, okay? I was hoping that she was just kidding and would attend the baby's party anyway. Fast forward to now, and she texts us saying that she knows we're mad at her, but she went to a jazz festival out of state that weekend, and I am completely over the situation at this point. I know she misses her granddaughter, and I want to just send her pics because I know she loves to get them, but my husband says not to talk to her and stay out of it completely because he is pretty much done with her ass right now. I'm working on not holding grudges and moving forward, and hell, I also want a babysitter when we come into town. So my question is, should I do as my husband says and stay out of it, or should I still contact her to tell her how I feel and make peace? Thanks a lot, and I love you guys.
So, what do you think?
I understand not wanting any conflict between your mother-in-law, and even if she was totally in the wrong, just kind of being like, well, fuck it. You know, I just want to get over it because I'm not trying to argue with your ass.
I mean.
But that's still your husband's mama.
Right.
So when it comes to her, I think you need to defer to his feelings. Just like if it was your mama, exactly. He would need to respect yours. Like, right. I get that you just want it to be over with. And, you know, nobody wants to argue with family, especially chosen family. Like, I get it, girl. But that is your man's mama. So if he's like, look, we're not talking to that bitch, then y'all just not talking to her.
And hello, and leave me on out of it until you. You guys figure it out.
Right. So then what I would say to my husband is, okay, that's nice. So what I suggest you do then is sit down with your mama and tell her exactly what the problem is, because I don't want to be in the middle of it. Don't, you know, like, your mama has my number. She's still family. She's contacting me about this. I understand you mad, but you need to make the effort to talk
it
to her and resolve it then.
For me.
Right.
And so as your spouse, please respect that it is awkward for me then and do something about this. These are my feelings. What is it that we can do about that? And if he's just beat on my chest, fuck my mama, right. Whatever, if that's it, then leave it be. That's not your mother, that's his mother. And just ask him to kindly respect the fact that you would like to be left the smooth fuck out of it then, so that you can just be somebody's mama and they can bicker among themselves, because regardless of how you treat that situation, it's going to be way more complicated for you than it will be for him, because you're not her child.
And do you want to be on good terms with your mother-in-law and shitty terms with your husband? You didn't marry your mother-in-law. Your loyalty does not lie with your mother-in-law.
That's what I was going to say from jump, is that, well, girl, you go out to Essence Fest or go out to Jazz in the Park or whatever the fuck it is if you want to. But, girl, this is my baby anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. No, I'm not going to have 13 parties for the baby because you want to be
on
out
her first
with
birthday
Mama D
weekend,
or whoever. Like, nah, like, I'm good. This is my child.
Yeah, I see why your husband is annoyed with her, because it seems like she was like, she skipped the party really to be petty because it wasn't at her house, which is ridiculous. But again, if you don't want to be in the middle of it and you just want it to be over with, absolutely let him handle it. But then, you know, also make him handle it. Don't have him, you know, you being running in between the two of them. Like, that's not fair to you either. So,
right.
Good luck to you. Our next letter comes from GH.
All right.
And it says... I don't know why.
Sure.
I've been with my boyfriend for the past 3 years, and my family and friends adore him. When my friends invite me to do things, they automatically know that he'll be along for the ride. However, my boyfriend's been working late lately, and my friends will invite me.
Oh, has he?
Don't do this.
I saw two can play that game.
And my friends will invite me out to do different things now without him. When I tell my boyfriend, he sometimes gets sensitive as if they're trying to exclude him when that's not the case. Then he gets an attitude with me like I'm the one who made the plans in the first place. I have a hard time understanding what the issue is, since they're my friends and they may not always want to hang out with him anyway. And if he's mad that we aren't doing the same social activities, why doesn't he ever try planning anything? Are his feelings valid, and how would you handle this if you were in this situation?
So... Trey is upset because he's not getting invited to the jams.
To the friend kickbacks, yeah.
With this person's friends.
Right. I mean, and they've been together for 3 years, so it's not like this is some brand new relationship. But he's not been invited to all the reindeer games.
Is good a man or a woman?
Good doesn't say. So, but I'm going to assume a man. I don't know why.
I guess it doesn't make a difference, but either way, maybe it's Gigi Hadid.
All right. Why?
Or like Gregory Hines.
Or maybe, no, I just have no idea, but I doubt that's it. At first I thought it was CH, but that's sugar and that's C and H. So never mind.
I've said this 5,000 times on this show before. I don't even understand why y'all be wanting to be so click buddy buddy with your significant other's friends anyway. That's why you should have your own individual independent ass motherfucking friends. Like, I don't, you know, where the fuck are y'all going that he has to be to Candy fucking Land? Do y'all just be taking like weekly trips out to backstage at Six Flags, or what the fuck are you doing that he's just that pissed that he doesn't get invited to, nigga? Like, you're at work. I'm not gonna sit at home and crochet while you're working when I could be hanging out with my
friends. I don't get why he's so not understanding about that. Like, it's not like I'm ditching you or they're being like, hey, don't bring your nigga around no more. Like, you just have to work. It would be different if they were like deliberately leaving you out. But if you have to work when everybody else is kicking it, then why are you mad at your man for that?
You want me to not hang out with my friends because you're at work?
The friends I have, the friends I had before I was with you, I should stop hanging out with them alone when you're unavailable. Like,
are you out of your damn mind?
I mean, like, are these your friends or do they all fuck around? Like, also be honest with yourself. This is a bunch of slut ass hoe ass friends, and every time y'all get together, somebody is sucking a dick. Like, is it something that?
There's something missing that I'm not understanding.
Because if it's a regular friendship thing, then this really doesn't make any sense. He can't be mad at you for hanging out with your friends without him.
He has to have friends of his own. Does he not have friends of his own that he can like plan time around and things like that? I guess it's valid for him to feel like, oh, left out of the soiree or whatever. But nigga, you just have an inconvenient schedule as of right now. So what that means is, if you want to be a part of the jam, throw one. Make one or plan something according to your schedule so that we can all do that. That's all you have to do. You don't have to be one of these people who's going to be bitching and moaning for weeks and weeks on end about how your friends don't love you because we never get to see you even
where
though you
I
work
invite?
27-hour goddamn days. Like, bitch, what the fuck do you want me to do about it? Like, our schedules are just off. That doesn't mean that I hate you and then I text the Illuminati to take your ass out. Like, God, what do you want from me?
Do you expect everybody else to just cancel their life and wait for you to be available? Who do you think you are?
You want me to just sit at home and color until you have like free time?
Ain't nobody gonna sit around and adjust their social calendar according to your boyfriend's availability. So if I were you, I would let him know, listen, I understand that maybe you feeling a little hurt or a little left out, but it's absolutely nothing personal. And I'm gonna kick it with my friends as much as I want to. Like, it just is what it is.
Be mature and say, listen, I miss y'all or I miss hanging out with y'all. And this is when I'm free again. Can we do something?
Yeah, something like that.
That is it.
All right. So send your questions to asktherita@gmail.com and let's take a short break.
Hey, guys. This episode is also being brought to you by Audible. Our great friends over there with an amazing place for amazing audiobooks. They've got over 180,000 titles to choose from and every single category that you can possibly imagine. I think I briefly mentioned the Four Agreements randomly in today's episode.
You did.
If you have not read it yet, please read it. It is so very, 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 very good. And they've also got another book on the air by the same author called The Mastery of Love. They've got Amy Poehler's Yes Please, which I love. They've got Game of Thrones, The Hobbit, Fahrenheit 451. Is that how you say that? I don't remember.
Fahrenheit.
But either way, yeah. They've got amazing books. Check it out.
Yeah, so all you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/read for your free 30-day trial and a free audiobook. Unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you own your books. And they have free apps for the iPhone, Android, and Windows Phone. They have Whisper Sync technology, so you can bounce back and forth between the audiobook and the ebook without losing your place. There are so many dope features at Audible. And with their great listen guarantee, you can exchange any book that you aren't happy with with for another title at any time. No questions asked. So again, go to audiblepodcast.com/READ for a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook. We know you're going to love it. And now let's move on.
Also, this episode is being brought to you guys by Tristan Walker and the great folks over at Bevel, the first and only shaving system for men with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. 4 out of 5 men report reduced razor bumps, discoloration, and irritation. That's like the most important thing to me. Up to 80% of black men and women struggle with razor bumps, or as I call them, tailor bumps. And with the Bevel, you don't even have to worry about that. It uses a single blade that cuts right above the skin with less irritation. It's designed from the ground up to give a smooth, bump-free shave with its end-to-end shaving system, including a pre-shave oil, a badger brush, which I stand for, safety razor, blades, cream, and a cooling, restoring balm that makes your face feel like Christmas.
And the packaging is super nice. It comes in a great container and it looks so fantastic. So it's great for a gift. If there's a birthday or anniversary or something else special coming up for the guy in your life or anybody who needs a great shave, then head on over to GETBEVEL.com and use code The Reed for 20% off your first month. It's time to shave smarter and sexier with Bevel and The Reed. And now let's finish the show.
So we're back and it's time for The Read now.
It is. Do you want me to go first or do you?
No, I don't. I'm going to go first because I have no idea what you're going to say, but I know it's going to be great.
No, you don't know that. I'm actually dealing with a little tonsillitis right now, so I'm not really firing on all cylinders, but you know I'm here and I do have a word, so.
Great. So I just want to, very briefly, I just want to say that, it kind of annoys me when I'm talking about, let me attack this a different way.
Okay.
We're at we're definitely in an era as Americans that is very, very tense, racially and otherwise. Everybody is super sensitive and ready to write a think piece at any moment. And, you know, that's a good thing. And, you know, I guess you call it a gift and a curse because it's very, very great that people are aware and you have people that are listening and trying to pay close attention to things. And then I think you just, the dark side of that is that you have a few people that just be ready to sound off at nothing for whatever the fuck reason, just to seem, you know, like a fighter or a social justice warrior or whatever. So the thing for me is that it's difficult to carry the weight of these events around all day, every day, like every damn near 24 hours at this point. There's a new hashtag, a new name of some black man or woman that has been murdered or killed just for being black. And it's, a lot of times it's too much. Like, I know there are a lot of you who are ready and willing to immediately start hashtagging and immediately hit the pavement. And I commend that. For me, sometimes I see these stories and I'm like, I'm going to close my MacBook and I'm going to eat something red velvet and watch something funny to just take my mind off of this because it's too much. Like, sometimes it's just too much to handle at one time. So I say all that to say that I want for you all to understand that in moments when we may be tweeting about how ridiculous Mimi Frost is, or in moments where we may be laughing at Meek Mill or talking about Raven Simone's hair, don't think, super woke people, that somehow we have forgotten about Sandra Bland or Tamir Rice or Mike Brown or Eric Garner or every single name, because we could go on forever, ever and ever and ever. Like, what I'm saying is, it kind of frustrates and agitates me when I could just be firing off jokes on social media or whatever, and you have people who are like, man, this is all a distraction, and we need to be talking about the issues, and how can you be talking about OVO Fest at a time like this because, you know, this person just died? And it's like, I've said on Twitter before, just because you tweet about something doesn't mean you give a fuck about it. And just because you don't tweet about something doesn't mean that you don't give a fuck about it. So don't insult me and like my love and concern, my self-love and my concern for not only the Black community, but for us as a people and as Americans, and like my concern for society in general. Don't insult that by saying, because I'm tweeting about love and hip hop, that I don't give a fuck, or that, you know, we're being distracted. Now, don't get me wrong, I do believe that white America and white media, they definitely place little distractions mm-hmm. in the air for us to, you know, to take us away from the issues at hand, or draw attention away from, you know, real ass things. I feel like Rachel Dolezal is one of those situations, those distractions. I feel like Donald Trump running for president is a huge fucking distraction. Like, there are things that I personally feel are distractions. Meek Mill and Drake going at each other and having one of the most entertaining, hilarious beefs that I've seen in a long ass time. It's not a distraction to me. It's some ignorant shit that's just happening. And I should be able to laugh at that, even if it's just taking my, how you know it's not taking my mind off the fucking issues? Like, I can't be personally one of those people that is tweeting about it all day, every day. I thank God for the people who definitely have the strength and the emotional stability to be able to do that. I personally can't, even outside of racism, anything in my life. That I feel like that's a part of the reason why I do what I do now, is because I've always treated anxiety and depression with comedy. Like, I've always been like, nope, I don't feel good, I'm gonna watch something funny, or no, I don't feel good, I'm gonna like tell a joke or listen to a joke or whatever. So what I'm saying is, don't think that by me making a joke about something that you deem irrelevant or a distraction, that I somehow have forgotten about all of the innocent Black lives that are being taken in this country, because it's insulting and it's stupid. And don't police me and what the fuck I'm tweeting. Like, a lot of you girls are out here tweeting incorrect statistics and quotes and doing all of this shit because you want somebody to think that you're Netta or Duray, and you just ain't. And that's fine. You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm not going to shit on you. I'm not going to shit on you for trying, or for at least being a voice out here that is attempting to spread positivity, mm-hmm. but don't try and come for me because I just want to watch A Different World today. Like, I'm still gonna come out here on The Read or wherever else. I'm always going to use my platform when I'm ready, or when I've read what I need to read and have, I feel, the right amount of information to discuss those things. That's what I'm going to do it. Let mm-hmm. me do me, girl. I can't be sad 24/7. I absorb those emotions. Like, I don't even know how we still talk about race right, all the time on this either. Show. Like, there's been so many times where we've come in here and been like, can we just go home? Because I know that people are expecting us to talk about this. I know that people want for us to discuss this stuff. And I'm ready and willing to do all of those things. And I'm not planning on stopping any of that shit. But girl, calm down.
It's heavy. You know, let people have their time. Let people take a break. Let people escape from that. Nobody wants to be mired in misery and sad news 24/7. You deserve.
Because essentially, we're, as a community, grieving.
Right. Every
and
day.
And people deal with grief in different ways. My way of grieving is to laugh. Like, I find the quickest way to bust out laughing to distract me from the fact that I'm sad or hurting or whatever. And that's always been the way that it is. And I'm sick and tired of niggas telling me that I'm being distracted or that I don't give a fuck about the issues because I said that Jessica Dimepiece's wig is fucking ridiculous and she has six elbows or six underarms. She has a whole, but they say it's the bra.
It is.
But she's got like,
it's too small.
Five armpits.
She's squeezing herself into them. Close your nose. What are you doing, girl?
It's okay, though. You don't have to do that.
Like, you're not, I don't get it. You're not even a big girl. Why are you doing this to yourself? Anyway.
So, yeah, that's me.
Well, I understand. You should be allowed to get on Twitter and say whatever you want to. Like, I get that there's always a new issue and a new hashtag, unfortunately, but sometimes people just need a break. Like,
and my timeline, I just brought back, by the way. I had my timeline deleted from like every single, because I don't use Twitter for web or phone. I don't even believe in that shit. I've always used like a third party thing.
And most of them,
yeah, most of them allow you to delete your timeline altogether. So I haven't even, I've really only been on Twitter tweeting and having conversations with people that are talking to me. So I'm not even out here like that, okay. Because a lot of times I can't even deal. I just recently brought my timeline back. But you ain't going to tell me that I can't make fun of Stevie J's crazy ass. Like,
that's
I'm
right.
still going to talk about the actual issues. Girl, give me a break. Damn.
All right. Amen. Well, for my read this week, it really could have been a lot of different people just because a lot of different companies have been getting on my nerves. And honestly, it was almost Kelly Osbourne for that Latina shit.
She really... Kelly fucked up. Words mean things, Kelly.
They just mean things, girl.
That's
the
lesson there. That's the lesson.
A whole lot of different media outlets got on my nerves. The New Yorker and that profile they did on Darren Wilson. The New York Times and how they said, oh, 10 years after Katrina, New Orleans has better food than ever. Like, y'all just could not be more... But this week I have to cuss out the good white bitches at WeeDad. Do you know what WeeDad is? You probably don't.
I feel it sounds familiar, but maybe
it's
not.
A company that makes hair products, I believe, exclusively for people with curly hair. I've tried them and I found them unremarkable, so I just didn't use them again. I haven't heard about them since. Like, I don't pay them too much attention, but the other day they pulled a move that, like, it really makes me feel like they hired Rachel Dolezal, or maybe they consulted her on this. I don't know. And I don't know if you've seen this or not, but they put up a guide on their website for, like, how to treat curly hair. And they had a picture of, like, normal and then frizzy and brittle and, like, color damage and all this. And the normal girl was this white woman with this cascade of half curly, half straight hair. And then all the girls with fucked up hair were black girls with different degrees of, like, kinkiness. So it's one white bitch at the top and she's called normal. And then the other three are different variations of fucked up and they're all black girls. So, and this is not, even though this is, like, incredibly shitty of them, this is not even the worst part of the story. So first of all, I don't understand why y'all seem to think that normal curly hair is supposed to look like any one thing. What the fuck is normal curly hair? Why would you put up a white girl with curls that have clearly been created by, like, a curling iron or destroyed by a flat iron, one or the fucking other? Why would you put that up next to three black women wearing their natural hair and call one normal and the other three fucked up? Like, at the very kindest, that's being culturally insensitive. But what it looks like is just stone cold fucking racism, because the bitch y'all put up did not have, it wasn't no fucking that little redhead girl, it wasn't no Shirley Temple, it wasn't no beautiful curls and no shit like that. It was some heat damage bullshit that anybody else would have said, sweetie, you need a deep conditioner and a big ass trim,
because your
bitch, you need to do something with your fucking hair because it looks a goddamn mess. If the goal is to look like K. Michelle has been chewing on my fucking scalp, then bitch, congratulations. But as for me, I won't be choosing that shit for myself. I don't want to look like that ugly ass bitch. That's not beachy waves. That's not no messy ass bedhead. It's not none of these cute code words y'all used to talk about your fucking damaged ass hair. It is fucked up and ugly, and all you bitches need a haircut. All three of them black girls look like they had way healthier hair than what that white girl's hair was looking like. And furthermore, you cannot tell me that looking at those photos, what you really believe is that they need to get on that white girl's level. Like, just make sure you Google it. If you haven't seen it, Google the WeeDad. It's O-U-I-D-A-D. And look at this fucking photo set, because it's unreal that they picked these black women with, like, this natural hair. And then, like, oh, it's frizzy. Oh, it's dry. Bitch, ain't nothing frizzy or dry about this shit. You just don't know what the fuck you talking about. Why are you inserting your white ass nose into black ass business? You don't know our fucking hair, clearly, because if you did, you wouldn't have written something that fucking tone deaf.
Why even compare white curls to black curls when they're completely different types and textures of hair? That,
because,
like,
you white, because you're white and ridiculous. So of course Natural Hair Twitter saw this and they were not having it. They never do. They always come for the bullshit whenever it comes out. And now WeeDad is scrambling and copy and pasting the same bullshit response to everybody on email and Instagram. And they came out and said, We've been fighting for curly hair for 30 years and all curls matter. And we're just out here trying to advance the curly revolution. And please bear with us if we happen to hurt your feelings. But we just want you to know that we're here for all curly hair. And it's just a curly hair issue and curly hair. Okay, but girl, how are you missing the fucking point this hard? Y'all are missing the point just as hard as the white supremacists who turn around and scream all lives matter do when we're screaming about black lives. We're not talking to you about fucking all curls right now, bitch. We're talking to you about your stupid ass social media interns, your stupid ass publishers, whoever the fuck edited that shit, whoever the fuck put that together. We're talking about the fact that you bitches were blatantly motherfucking racist, putting a white girl up like she's the fucking prototype and expecting black women to adjust their hair to look like hers. That was some straight up fucking bullshit. It's no justification. Like, I don't understand how, if you fighting for curly girls and you all for curly hair, how the fuck do y'all not have any black women with curly hair working for you? Because any black woman would have seen that shit and said, let me tell you crackers exactly where you have it fucked up, bitty, sweetie, because it's right here. Exhibit A, B, C, and D. This is where you got us fucked up. The problem is that you singled out black hair as being inherently fucked up. Like, the way it grows from our scalp is just wrong, and we need whatever white bullshit you bitches done concocted or stole from one of us and watered down into some bullshit. We need that to put on our hair so we can look like this fucked up ass white bitch. No, fuck your all curls matter, just like fuck your all lives matter. You bitches do not get to sit up here and act like it's something wrong with black people and the only way to fix it is to act like you. We don't have to, and that's, we don't have to do the shit you do. We don't have to be like you. We don't have to look like you, use the same terms as you, speak like you, dress like you to be worthy of respect. You didn't have to sit up there and disrespect them black women and their beautiful natural hair you did by comparing them to that ugly ass, pale ass, stupid ass bitch. And that's all I have to say to you hoes on today.
Okay.
So that's my read for this week. And that wraps up the read for this week. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at This Is The Read. And check out our website, thisistheread.com, for links to every episode and details on who's been on the show and where we'll be next and all those fun things. Speaking of where we'll be next, TheReadLive.com for tickets to all of our upcoming live shows. Shout out to Atlanta. Just sold out a couple days ago.
Yeah, Atlanta sold out. Chicago is, no, Chicago. That's not right. Atlanta, D.C. is sold out.
Oh, why are you doing this to people?
London. Yeah, London, and I know St. Louis, Charlotte. So yeah, go on TheReadLive.com and check it out. Shout out to everybody who says that my mic needs to be turned up or that I need to speak louder or whatever. I'm never gonna do it, so there it is.
Okay, well, that was nice. what motivated you to say that right then?
Because every single week someone's always like, oh, turn your mic up, or why don't you speak closer to the microphone or whatever. I've spoken like this on this show for like 2.5 years. I'm super sorry if it doesn't, like, if there's, I don't know, like, what else. I'm not sure what it is that I'm doing that prevents people from hearing it, because I know that I speak away from the mic a lot of times like this, mm-hmm. because I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes this big microphone in my face is in my way. I forget that I'm doing a show and I'm talking to you, or I look down, or the tone of my voice, I don't know, whatever. It's just a part of me. Here it is. Yay, whatever.
You drop your voice a lot when speaking, just like in regular everyday life.
But that's
life.
Just naturally how I speak.
I know.
I can't, you know, but, you know, from now on, I'll just talk like this the whole time for the every single show for an hour and a half or however long we do this. I'll just speak like this. Okay. I'm going to change my natural speaking voice like this. You know, and in loving memory of Meek Mill, I'm just going to talk like this for the rest of
my career.
This is the volume that I live at now.
Do we have any other announcements this week? I'm so sick of your ass. I think that's it for me. I'm not sure. I don't think I have anything else. So what about you? Any announcements or an acronym this week?
Drake. I guess that's not how you do it.
You should just try it again, and that way I'll have the first one.
A D P.
Aubrey does porn.
It's like you go for the one that you would know isn't right, because that you like you.
I'm just going with the first thing that pops into my head.
Aubrey doesn't play.
Oh, damn. Ugh, I didn't think that through.
Aubrey is like that girl on Teen Mom, on Super Sweet 16. That little mixed girl who was like, do you want me to beat you up in front of all of these people again, Maggie? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Because I will beat your ass. Like,
wait,
that.
The one who threw a fit about going to Dunkin' Donuts and like made her mama get her a culotta or some shit.
I don't remember all that. All I remember is that her mama was white and that she cussed out this white girl who didn't get an invitation and was talking about, I'll kick your ass in front of all these people again.
That show used to be the
best. And then her
mama
was drunk at the party dancing with like half of a fucking mannequin or something.
Good night. Trash. All right. All right. So that wraps up another episode of The Read, and we will see y'all next week.